Hey there, and welcome to the Confident Woman Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Brooks. Join me as I sit down and chat with co-hosts, friends, and carefully curated guests and talk about all the things that empower you to become your best and most confident self. So let's get started. All right, ladies, welcome back to another episode. So today we have with us Dina Jansen. And Dina is a renowned author, speaker, and coach who transitioned from a successful corporate career to entrepreneurship and has authored two incredible books. So we're going to be talking about everything in between, right? From the corporate to the entrepreneur journey, to the writing, to the publishing, to all the things really to inspire, encourage, and empower you to become your best and most confident self. So, of course, we will pass the mic to Dina so she can share us a little bit more about herself as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for having me, Rachel. And anyone listening, it's a pleasure to join you today. The quick bio there really just talks about what I do, but I would share that who I am is a woman who is just an everyday woman who had some dreams and who, you know, just decided that I could no longer settle and decided I had to take some risks and grow toward the life that I said I wanted. And so, you know, while what I do as an author, as a podcaster myself, as a women's event producer here locally, I'm also a wife and a mom and a daughter. I've got two young, well, they're not even young kids anymore. God, they're 16 and 18. It just doesn't make sense. But I'm married to my high school sweetheart, who is a farmer, a real life farmer. And so it was really fun. And in this season of my life, I'm actually bringing that perspective to the table, which I never have before. Not that I've shied away from it. It just hasn't led. I haven't led with that perspective. And so it's really fun for me in my latest book, Soul Farmer, to bring that perspective. Because here's the truth, Rachel. I have zero green in my thumbs. I kill all plants. But my husband grows plants and I grow people. So I believe in giving people what they need and the tools that they need to help them grow toward whatever it is they're longing for. And so for me, this is a real soul farmer, and the book and the content of it is just a fantastic opportunity to marry me and my husband's passions and get people excited about growing. So
I love that. I just jotted down. I love that you said, you know, your husband grows plants and you grow people.
Yeah.
How cool is that, right?
Well, it was, I will say, at my book launch, someone asked me that, what was the most surprising part of my author journey? And I said, honestly, the most surprising thing was that I had such an untapped gem of perspective that I wasn't sharing. And because I will be honest, and like I shared with the people in attendance at that event, I, for a lot of years, if you know anyone, if you happen to know a farmer or you know a farmer's wife, the farm, in quotes, is another entity in your relationship. He's known since he was 8 years old. He wanted to farm, and farmers farm, and they farm, and they farm hard, and they work year round, round the clockish. And so that's not the easiest thing for a wife to manage. But after our own kind of reckoning and figuring out where we want to be, we had our own kind of bumps in the road. We say we're on our second marriage, honestly. We say that we really had a recommitment to who we are and what we are. And now to be able to marry our passions, it really is fantastic. It is, we really do believe in the same thing. We believe in the same principles and values. It's just our passions show up very differently. His show up in dirt, mine show up in rooms of people, right? It's just, or one-on-one, or when someone's reading my book. So yeah, it's a gift that I think that we're really excited to explore in our own marriage together. So yeah, we're excited.
I love that, how you bring this full circle, and I'm sure that you talk further at great lengths about it in your book, but you've married your high school sweetheart, so you've been together through it all. Yeah. You have grown so much. You have birthed children. You have, you know, crops and farming and books and people and all the things that you really cultivate, right?
Yeah.
So I'm curious to know, like, some of those as we go dive into your book in a moment here, but the context of how important it is to take care of yourself, right? And those that are around you, right? So obviously, yeah. Self-care is important. Having that insight for, you mentioned perspective, to cultivating this growth mindset inside, right? Because it transitions into what you're producing. Right. And the importance of sowing seeds that you talk about also in your book.
Yeah.
So kind of walk us through some of that, those struggles, right? Because for us to really embody the successes of our growth and achievements, that obviously comes with these hurdles of challenges and struggles and things that you've had to endure. Since this kind of all encompasses into the space over these 20 plus something years.
Yeah.
I mean, since you've known your husband since he was what?
You know, you're right. We're going on 24 years of marriage and been together longer than that. I mean, it was.
Right. So you've got a lot of wisdom and a lot of sage advice to share with our listeners. Yeah. And I think that that's really what I love for you to dive deep into.
The best way I can start to kind of answer that and break that apart is I have a tattoo. I don't wear what are those bracelets? You know, with all of the, that you like, you know what happens in your 40 after in 44 or 45, you just lose the word.
Like,
yes, beautiful bracelet. Yeah, but like,
mine are very simple.
A charm bracelet. Jeez Louise. Okay, anyone listening is going to go, she had her moment and she found the word. Thank goodness. So, charm bracelets. I collect little baby tattoos as like my, like when something happens, that's my little symbol. So I've only got like five, but I have an and tattoo. It's my latest tattoo with the and sign. And I will say that that is how I help myself remember that life, marriage, entrepreneurship, whatever it is you're doing, parenthood, is all about embracing and, because there's so many ways to break it up. But the hardest, to me, the hardest thing to really to sink in is that there's a me and a we of everything we do. And so when you think about people who want to focus on personal growth and self-care, it feels very me driven, feels very me focused, me centered. And women, we're evolving, but women for a lot of times, that's a struggle because it feels like we're then not putting others first and not being the caretakers that we really are naturally a lot of times just more inclined to be. But if I don't take care of me, I can't show up for the we, right? And so it's just this really interesting dynamic of embracing how can I focus on me, my goals, my dreams, my passions, my unique set of skills and opportunities, and show up and support my husband with his own unique skills and passions and desire, right? And dreams. So I really say for a lot of years, and we did, I mean, again, we were together when we were 15, engaged at 19, married at 20. I got kicked out of the casino on our honeymoon. It was hysterical. I was too young, but we aged together for a lot of years, but we didn't grow together. And for us, what happened is like a lot of people say, well, what happened? How did it change? Well, unfortunately, we got so unhealthy. And I would say that we were in a severe drought. Like, you know, think of a severe drought. And I'm down here in Texas, right? So we see it. Just these gigantic cracks in the dirt and the ground. It's just, we weren't healthy. We weren't well. But we had a moment where we were like, are we in this or out of this? Like, are we willing to grow together? And that was pivotal for us to then start learning how to grow individually and, right, that and grow together. Now I would say that we are so much more vocal and intentional about sharing our individual dreams and goals, but also what do we want to grow toward together? Like, it's beautiful to have all of them. It really does make a partnership that, well, and again, I can't speak for everyone else. It's the partnership I wanted. It's the partnership I'm longing for, where I can have a dream and I can chase it. And I know he supports me and he has a dream and he's chasing it and I support him. And we have some together. I know another couple down here in Austin who created a fantastic family-owned cheese business and they work together every day and all around the clock. Me and my husband could not do that, right? Like, so I'm just saying everyone's dreams are different. But embracing that and just knowing that the me and the we is always going to be a balancing act. So whether you're an entrepreneur and you have a team or you're corporate and you're leading it, like there is a me component and there's a we, and it's just, a, you you got to keep showing up for you so you can show up better for the combined group. Yeah. And I don't know if I got all the way to your answer, but I will say that that has been pivotal for our way of thinking, is that we don't feel like we're in silos anymore. Mm-hmm. We aren't operating individually. We might have individual dreams, but we do come together in the we part. And I think that that was different and is different for us. And we're digging it. We like it a lot.
Yeah, you definitely answered the question. And I love how you brought in the analogy and, you know, using visual examples to really hone into that. And I think that the way that you explained that was very thorough. So thank you for that. And I love your collector of tattoos. I'm just like the most simple, basic jewelry wearer ever.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm such a minimalist. Yeah. But embracing that. And you touched upon something that I think many women feel that they're at these crossroads, and it's either A or B. It has to be an or. But when we limit ourselves to the choices of or, how do we really embrace all that life has to offer, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is a gift each day that we get to wake up. It's like, this is a gift. What are we going to do with it? We're going to deny ourselves or choose one over the other. But you've chosen the alternative and realized, hey, listen, I'm a person first. This is a me before we.
Yeah.
If I can't be my best, I cannot serve the rest.
Right.
So what is it that I could do for me while still lovingly showing up for my husband, lovingly showing up as a mother, lovingly showing up for these women that I'm leading, and this book that has such a profound message and impact? How, right? So it's this how that you are asking yourself, because you realize whether or not any relationship succeeds or doesn't is not truly dependent upon your option of choices, A or, you know, and or.
Right.
But recognizing that everything that you long for or desire, you have to create and be the example of it first, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of is in context what I was asking, but you beautifully answered it, because it allows you to say, well, I'm in relationships with everybody I'm interconnected with.
Yeah.
What does Dina want? What lights me up? What can I bring to the table? And so now when you got that clarity, you could come and say, hey, husband, this is where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
In or out. We're at the show. Right. We got to decide. And that gave you the same crossroad perspective. And you said, I'm all in with an and. Are you as well?
Right.
I love that. And, you know, that parable per se is what really, it's applicable in almost everything that we do in life.
Yeah.
So giving yourselves that option to not limit to an or, but ask for more. Ask for it all.
Yeah.
And it's easier to discard some things if you've run out of capacity than to feel that you're longing and lacking internally because you're unwilling to go to the depths to truly figure out what lights your heart on fire, what you really
want. Yeah. And that's the hard question, right? Is what do you want?
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to several of your podcasts, but even one where you were telling more of your story. And I think a lot of women have this moment, and men too, that where you look in the mirror and you say, how did I get here? But you're not coming to that question out of joy and hope. It's despair. Like, how did I get here? And what I hope that any woman who comes in contact with me, any woman who reads Soul Farmer, is that we have the opportunity. There is a choice to be made to do the work that it takes and make a ton of choices to show up and try. The title of the book is Soul Farmer, but I do talk about, you talked about the growth mindset, but I talk about the seeker mindset. And the seeker mindset, which again, I love, because the seeker though embraces, again, you know, I love and. The seekers are able to live in the then, like that's who I was then. This is who I am now. And this is who I long to be. And we can have peace with all of those, with every version of ourselves we were. Like, there, rather than judgment, rather than comparison, rather than angst, yeah, there may have been things in your past that you weren't proud of, but we can learn from them. They give you an opportunity to become who you are today. And then today I can still go, God, but I still want to be her. Like, it's this beautiful opportunity to embrace the different perspectives of you, the different opportunities you have. And, you know, what you talked earlier about truly self-care and then the me part, but I also have a chapter called the U-turns. How do you prioritize yourself with U-turns? Y-O-U, like visual, it's you, Y-O-U turns, but it's a turning in towards yourself and realizing that, interestingly enough, there's 5 U-turns. We don't need to go through them all. You should just read the book, read Soul Farmer. But I will say that even though the very first one is to trust that you matter, that is a process. That is not a light switch you can turn on for many women. That's going to be work. It's a practice. But I will say to tell people, I practice what I preach, I promise. One of the other U-turns is to ask for help, right? We can't do it all. We need mentors. We need people who can help us, you know, move forward, whether that's a coach or whether that's just someone to help us get the kids where they need to go. Prioritizing yourself with a U-turn is not always just about isolating yourself. It is about learning how to grow toward what you need. And that might include other people because we might need help. So I share that just to let women know, anyone listening, that prioritizing yourself is not a choice to ignore anyone else. It is, again, truly an opportunity to trust that you are your own best guide and that you can tap into yourself, tap into your intuition, you know, and find your next steps forward. So, yeah.
These are all great, great tips. And of course, they're all in your book, Soul Farmer. Yeah. So we'll touch upon a few of the things that you just shared. But for those listening, you're like, man, this is right up my alley. I want to learn it all. Make sure you grab Soul Farmer, which is available where? Everywhere books
on are Amazon or all the places. Yeah, you can, if you're a Barnes & Noble or if you're, go find it, you can go see reviews on Goodreads. But also, if you're not a reader, like you don't want to hold the book in your hand and that feels like too much, I am also the narrator. So you can go to Apple Books or Audible and just let me just read to you while you're walking or working out. I did that for my husband because in my first book, where it was more memoir and we had some rocky days, he was like, Dina, I can't read it because I'm just scanning for my name. Like, okay. So like, let me just go do an Audible version. And so now he can listen and not get distracted by where his name might pop up. So you can listen to it if you don't want to grab the book.
Yes. And so obviously, you know, we'll put all the details and stuff in the show notes, but
sure,
that'll also be included towards the end. So stick with us for, you know, to the end of this episode. But some of the things that you mentioned, you know, embracing the different perspectives. You've also talked about the importance that you matter through those U-turns.
Yep.
And you also mentioned asking for help and prioritizing self. So some of those 4 things that you, or actually 5, because I also jotted down, to be at peace, finding that self-acceptance. So obviously, those 5 big things that you just talked about are so current, prevalent, and relevant in our everyday lives, because if we're living it, we're experiencing it. And so I want you to touch briefly upon and share a few like tips and takeaways for our listeners. But when we talk about being at peace and self-acceptance, it all sounds well and good, right? So I'm kind of playing the devil's advocate here, like, great. How?
Yes.
What?
Right.
Just turn the switch on. Yes. If it was that easy, I want all these things. I don't want to be in the place that I'm at. I don't want to feel this way about myself. I don't want to have to go through these growing pains because, as it says, they're painful, right?
Yeah. Right.
So it's this constant evolution that I think can really relate to almost all of these 5 points that you just made.
Yeah.
But I'd love for you to dive a little bit deeper. Yeah. Providing some tips and some strategies and even some personal narratives that led you to where you're at.
100%. Easy to do. I will say that when I think of peace too, it's like that, right? Like that exhale, like you don't realize you've been holding your breath for years maybe. And I would say that interestingly enough, I've got, there's two like warring opportunities, things I'm trying to share, and I'm trying to decide which one to lead with. So let's go with love first. How do you fall in love with yourself? You have to first realize, embrace that you are in relationship with yourself. And no one is going to care for that relationship but you. And again, eight-ish to, at this point, we're almost close to 8 to 10 years ago when we were in our, my marriage was not well. I was then not well. I was in a corporate career that I was literally in one of the best places to work, best clients. Everything looked great from the outside looking in, but I knew I wanted something different. I knew I was unfulfilled. But leaving corporate is scary, right? Leaving six figures, leaving benefits, all of these things are scary. Entrepreneurship, obviously, luckily I don't have to say it that often, felt very, very scary to me. And the thought of what is going to happen to my marriage, very scary. I was waking up just terrified. But when you hit rock bottom, which we did, and I made some decisions that hurt someone I love. I made decisions that was me seeking peace, but I was looking outside myself. And when I realized that that wasn't going to bring me the peace I truly wanted, I had my own reckoning of this is not who I am. This is not who I want to be. This is not how I want to show up. And this is not how I want to love the man I say I love. So again, that was a decision for me, is I will no longer settle, but I can't not take care of myself because I am not well. So how can I expect us to be well? Mm-hmm. So that started in a very slow process for me. I definitely went back to my therapist. I got back in a couch because we all come with things that we have to deal with. There's a lot of things that we lessons we teach ourselves as children that we carry forward. There were a lot of things I had to unpack. But I would say that as I gave myself more time and I started talking to myself more, which I do, I sometimes out loud, sometimes internally, but when I would give myself that time with myself, I started to really enjoy her, right? Like, it's kind of like that observer. You hear people say, be the observer of your life. Like you just kind of zoom out and you look down and you're like, man, look at her go, right? Or she's really working hard here. Or, oh, she doesn't see that coming, but she's going to, you know, she'll figure it out. But I remember taking myself on a solo corporate retreat because I was a solopreneur. And I took myself to this fantastic place called Camp Comfort. And I was by myself. And on the third morning, I was doing some reading and some journaling. And I asked myself, like, is there anything else? And again, some people, if they're not into these practices, it might feel very odd to them. But I talked to myself because that's the only way I can stay in that relationship. And it's like, is there anything else? And I'm not kidding, Rachel. Out of nowhere, I heard very clearly in my voice, like, I love you. I love you. I love you. And I was in room 3. I heard 3 words 3 times in a row. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm early 40s and I love myself probably for the first time. I love who I am and I love me. And when you love someone, you want them to grow. You know it's going to be hard and you have to see them struggle. And I have to go through those things. But I also know that I unconditionally love who I am and we're going to get through it. And so it's just a choice of giving yourself time with yourself. It doesn't mean you have to go on some silent retreat. It doesn't mean you have to meditate or journal. There's so many practices you can incorporate, but it does mean, and I swear in Soul Farmer and in my other book, if someone's going to have to count for me, I probably give you hundreds of questions to ask yourself because I do think that self-reflection is the key to building that relationship with yourself. And all we can hope then is we're modeling that for other people, right? Like my husband now gets really curious with himself. My kids know, oh, mom's going to ask us a question. They call me intrusively curious, which I think I'm taking as a compliment. But I may have strayed away, but that to me was realizing you are in relationship with yourself and we can't leave that relationship to anyone else to manage. It is mine to nourish. I know you use that word nourish a lot. It is mine to cultivate. It is mine to ensure that I'm where I need to be, that I'm getting what I need. Because I talk about in Soul Farmer, you can't ignore there will be obstacles to growth. That's life. The highs and the lows, right? But the better and better you get about creating that relationship with yourself and asking what you need and giving yourself what you need, even if it's 5 minutes. Like before we got on the podcast, I laid out on my grass for 10 minutes. I just needed to be on the ground with some sun on me. Okay, whatever it is you need. There's several other stories. I think there were other questions, but did that get us on the right track?
I'm in awe. Like I'm just like leaning in and I'm embracing this. And I literally got chills when you had said how you heard 3 times.
I know.
I love you. I love you. I love you.
I know.
Because I can relate to so much of that. Now, I didn't have the audible version of that in my life, but I was that person who stared at herself in the mirror and it was just a straight disgust of self-loathing because I had reached such a low. And for me, after all these years, you know, to really, you know, to even create a platform called The Confident Woman. I mean, if you asked me 10 plus years ago, I would have been like, hello, have you seen me? Do you know me? Like I'm anything but. Yeah. I mean, I was just negative and like toxic and unhealthy. Everything that came out of my mouth about me.
Yeah.
About me. Because that's what was manifested inside. Because of the stuff that, you know, we talk about in therapy, right?
Like, right.
This isn't so much a therapy session, but listen, those that are listening, if you're even on the fence and you're just like, man, I just need somebody to talk to, I highly encourage having some sort of talk therapy.
Yeah.
You never know, just creating that safe space and realizing that having an outlet or somebody that is there to place non-judgment, non-bias, everything is just a safe space, you realize how much more impacted and profound your relationships will be because you're not pouring into them from this place of lack. You know, one of those quotes that I've shared before, it's if you don't heal the wounds that hurt you, you'll bleed onto others. Mm. And then they're essentially, you know, getting the hurt in the bloodbath because there's so much damage and pain and things that we go through in life. And, you know, this conversation isn't just to be about the darkness, but it's about to really witness and go through that as part of this journey and this journey that only you can embark on through yourself. And as Dina said, nobody can do this for you.
Yeah.
So coming full circle, you know, hearing Dina's story to even just bits and pieces of my story that's been sprinkled out throughout all these episodes and in my book. But I can relate to so much of what you just shared because it was like, on the outside, I wanted so much to be loved, to be happy. I wanted a thriving marriage. I wanted friends. I want my family to understand. I wanted all these things, right?
Yep.
But internally, I was unwilling to even give myself even a second thought of something because everything that came to my mind, I questioned it or I criticized it or I cut it down. And so it's like, how can we long being again at these crossroads where it's like, I want love and happiness and peace and joy and all these things. But on the other side, I'm unwilling to venture down that path because, right? So all these stories, all the talk, all the things that we have led to believe about ourselves, which if we're at that place, we can't have that peace. We can't have the love that we want from others. And it goes back to, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, I'm very faith-based, but, you know, to love others, right? So love God and love others as yourself. But like how I hated myself. So what little bits of love I could give were basically moments that were passed through and on to somebody else. So for you to have that thriving, loving relationship with your husband that you guys were in the severe drought, with your children who are now having two model parents as, you know, examples for themselves so that you're teaching them and this becomes part of this legacy that you're living and leading and inspiring other individuals to not only just embark on this journey with you but also take notes from your pages and carry this forward into their relationships and be the change, right? So change is it's contagious, right? It's this ripple effect. It's this whole circle of reciprocity. It's like, well, if I could do this and it can impact that person who's going to impact the next and the next.
Exactly.
Right. So kind of bring this full circle here. You had mentioned, you know, the question, how do I fall in love with myself? Yeah. And I think what is unique and kind of cool, because this was a question that came to me a few years back. And I said, you know, I was taken aback. I was like, great question. Now, how do you? Mm-hmm. And one of the things that, you know, I'll just share my perspective on this as well is it's almost like you date yourself, right?
Absolutely.
Self on a date. What would you do if you'd met somebody that you had at least an attraction to, right? Because you're probably like, well, yeah, maybe I'm attracted. Yeah. They look good.
Yeah.
They're kind. We'll go out on a date. You start engaging in conversations.
Yeah.
You start asking questions. You start getting curious. You start taking notice. You start opening your ears and your eyes and your sensory perception. Like everything becomes so fully in this present moment because you really want to experience this incredible individual that you're with, right?
Yeah.
The same is true for yourself. Yeah. So when you can start dating yourself and asking yourself this question, you start uncovering and you start learning and you start growing. You're like, damn, I'm pretty cool. Like, man, I really like me.
Exactly.
When you start liking somebody, right? You keep showing up for them. You want to be around them. You're enjoying their company. All of a sudden that like turns into not love yet, but maybe it's like, man, I'm really fond of that person. I love being around them. And now you start falling in love with them.
Yes.
And again, it's this evolution of relationships. And you are the only one who could truly love you and care for you and nourish and cultivate and create and persevere, all those things.
Yeah.
And it's such a beautiful gift when you can give that gift back to you and give it away to others.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's two things that are just like screaming in my mind. And so two things that I do think too, that as you really focus on that relationship with yourself, I do think that you will learn to trust that you can keep yourself safe. Fear is a very, very powerful thing. And I brought a lot of lessons from childhood into my adulthood. And for me, that was, if I lose control, I am not safe. So when you are growing out of your comfort zone, you feel out of control. A lot of it's like, wait, I don't know what's happening. So how can I control the situation? And it is about, though, think about the people we are in relationship with. Odds are they make us feel safe. They make us feel seen. But we have to, through trial and error, through very baby steps, like I call it everyday bravery, through these moments of everyday bravery, you learn that you can keep yourself safe. And when you can keep yourself safe, you start to cultivate that relationship you want, that your kids feel safe, right? Why do you want kids to feel safe? And that is part of being loved. You can't have one without the other. And again, there's that and. Maybe I should have gotten a bigger tattoo. It's too small. I guess I should have got a bigger one. But okay, so that was one story. The other, though, is like, Rachel, think about those moments where both of us, and I on literally my rock bottom moment, I literally slipped and fell in my shower. I don't know how I didn't break anything, but I just sat there and cried. I was like, this is, how did I get here? That was 10 years ago. Now I look in the mirror and just like, you have these moments where you're like, how did I get here? Right? Like with joy and like, excuse me, I'm a confident, like I have a podcast called The Confident Woman. Who am I? Like, I mean, how did I get here? And that is, it is a transformation that every woman, every dude too can have if they just choose to show up. And it is a daily practice. It is not an overnight. It is a choice of a lifestyle. And it's one that I have yet to meet someone who is disappointed with that choice. So.
Yes. I like that you brought up about the safety and the uncertainty because, you know, fear is, it will crush and destroy you. But all that is, you know, for me, it's like when I embarked on that journey probably close to about 10-ish years ago as well, fear held me back from everything. I mean, I might as well have been like scared to even step outside my house because like, I don't know what's out there. Everything's attacking me. Everything's hurting me. Everything, right? So it's like we play this victim to our own narrative because it's like we've endured such, you know, hardship and painful things, but then for us is a sense of like protecting ourselves. We play small in the sense of like, we don't want to go out. We don't want to venture into something new. We don't want to learn anything new. We've just literally shut down. And so obviously we know there's no growth in the darkness, right? Well, I mean, there is, if you look from a farmer's perspective, right? Sure. It's under the ground. That's where the growth.
Sun. Yeah.
Right. But we have to come, you know, for us to thrive, more or less. I'm going to use the thrive. We can grow in the darkness. We can grow negatively or positively. But when we come out of that darkness, that's the thriving aspect. Did we plant seeds of positivity and hope and encouragement? Or do we plant seeds of negative disparity, anger, bitterness, resentment, things like that? So, you know, what we plant in private will blossom in public. So what choices are we making today that when we're doing this underground work, something that starts to sprout, you say, wow, that's because I loved for it and I cared for it and I nourished it and I gave it everything that it needs. And I'm going to baby this thing up and care for it throughout because I know the work that went into this is going to be well rewarded and well deserved. Yeah. So I love that you share all of this. Man, this is just, I could talk about this stuff all day, every day. This is my
same.
We share similar stories. And for those listening, before we hit record, we were just, you know, talking about some of the differences in our stories and how, you know, as authors, we share such private, intimate moments of our life with our readers because we see the value and the necessity of being authentic and vulnerable. Because when we can, it gives the others permission to say, me too. Man, that's courageous. She went there and I can too.
Yeah. Well, and just like we say on our podcast, and we have a women's event here locally, but we're like, but small town women are a really big deal. It's time for us to, any woman, wherever you live, regardless where, it's just to realize that every woman has a fantastic story. And God, it's just, there's nothing better than seeing a woman have that own moment where you can see her start to dig herself. But again, it's the me and the we, it's the end. It's when I have a success, there's nothing better than sharing that success or learning from someone else and connecting other women. So I can't wait to share you and your work with people in my community and my network, and just to see what women can do when we come together and really embrace that we build up stronger individuals, right? And that is the ripple that is, it's powerful to see. So
exactly. And, you know, just to add into that note, I mean, that's what the confident woman is. It's like, it was never about me when I created, and it wasn't like part of my affirmation, like, I am the confident woman. Yeah. It's like, I didn't even know it at the time because it was just an audible voice that came to me and said, the confident woman. Because I was asking, I said, well, what is this thing called that I'm longing for? Had no idea. And this was even like before I even started podcasting and all those things. So even when we look at, you know, who is the confident woman? It's this collective voice of who we all are. Mm-hmm. It, you know, she's me, she's you, she's we, she's all of us. Because collectively, we make up the facets of our life that we may otherwise, you know, quote unquote, are lacking, because we act equipped with everything.
Right.
But we need others to help support and lift us up and give us that hope and encouragement so that we can really become our confident, courageous, brave, whatever this is, right? So our words, right? The confident woman is all of us, and she's within all of us. So it's really cool how you took that approach, the me and we, but it ultimately comes down to me.
Yeah.
The individual. So if you want a better quality of life, what are you doing for yourself? If you want a thriving relationship, how is the relationship you got with yourself?
Right.
You want a better life in career or more friends and joy and happiness? What are you doing about it today?
Right.
So everything comes down to that choice. And as Dina says, it is choosing the seeker mindset, because when you seek, you find. When you seek, you're curious. When you seek, you're not placing the emphasis on self. You're thinking what could be, right?
Right.
So there's that, we're shifting the mindset to being more open, more curious, and more seeking to find everything you need. And it's all found within, but you have to discover it first.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And when I see your I am, that's what I would say. It's like the best way for me. The last thing that I'd be cool saying is just, I am choosing to try. Women, just try. Like that is, it is not about the accomplishment. It's not about, it is choosing to try to change for the better. And when you try, that confidence builds, right? Over time, the more times you try, I'm not saying the more times you accomplish. I'm saying the more times you try, the better you will get at whatever it is you're seeking or whatever it is you're looking for. And when you look up the definition of seeking, it just means you're looking for things. You're trying it. It's an attempt. And that is the brave work, right? It's those, you'll be frustrated with yourself when you look back and you're like, I didn't try. So I'm just out here trying to encourage other women to get out there and try. So I am trying to help women do that. So that's,
and I am grateful for this conversation. This is just truly incredible. So, oh my gosh. I mean, obviously Dina over-delivered. She unpacked so many tips and nuggets of wisdom and encouragement and shifts of perspective. So this has definitely been like a value-packed episode. And if you're like, oh man, I just filled up my notebook, or I have been listening to this in the car and I can't wait to go home and just start jotting down some notes. Or maybe you're just like, man, just give me the book because I'm already hooked. I want more. I want more. So as Dina shared, obviously your book is available everywhere. Books are sold online, including Audible and all the versions. So there's no excuse.
Yeah.
You want it. You got to change in this life and making a choice to start doing, as she said, you know, asking for help, seeking mentors, coaches, authors share their stories, right? So we're just taking in this newfound information, and what you do to apply this to your life is the outcome of the input, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. So if you want to close us out with any last remarks, and of course, note to our listeners how they can follow along with you, how they can connect with you, and all the contact info.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say the easiest one-stop shop is just to go to my website at dinajansen.com. You'll find my Instagram, my Facebook, all the links there. But Instagram is my favorite little spot. So that's at Dina_Jansen. But the website, the Instagram, you can find me there. And really any final words, you know, I always go with my gut. And the very last word of the book is love. And I, like I say there, I hope that this book, I hope that my life is known for, and that you know that I've come from a place of love and a spirit of love, because I just think that when we do choose that as a starting point, fantastic things happen. So I just tell everybody to get out there and keep growing. And if they need the tool, then Soul Farmer is there to be their guide and companion. And my voice will be in your ears, getting you curious. So.
Well, wonderful. So of course, all that will be in the show notes below. So make sure to follow along, get Dina's book. If you've read it and you're like, man, I'm loving it, be sure to reach out to her. That's the one thing with creatives. We never know the impact that our words are landing, leaving on others. So whether it's listening to this episode or any of the Confident Woman's, but even so with Dina. Dina has her own podcast, which is called You Just Don't Know It Yet. So if you're looking for more inspiration, jump over to her podcast, let her know. And of course, from author to author, we don't know the impact that our words and our heart and our message have on the world. So if that's you who have read it, please reach out to us. Let us know, because this helps give us the encouragement to keep putting out incredible content to serve others as well. So thank you.
Thank you. It was an honor to be here.
Thank you. Hey there. Thank you so much for joining me on today's episode of the Confident Woman Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode as much as I did, please be sure to like, subscribe, and leave us a review. Thanks again for listening.